वनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण वी वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज टू द मॉर्निंग भागवतम क्लास वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 9 एंटाइटल्ड द पासिंग अवे ऑफ भीष्म देव एंड टेक्स्ट नंबर 25 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे काइंडली रिपीट आफ्टर मी सूत उवाच युधिष्ठिरस्तदा कर्ण्य शयानम शरपंजरे अपृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् ऋषीणां चानुश्रुण्वताम् सूत उवाच युधिष्ठिरस्तदा कर्ण्य शयानं शरपञ्जरे अपृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् ऋषीणां चानुश्रुण्वताम् सूत उवाच युधिष्ठिरस्तदा कर्ण्य शयानं शरपञ्जरे अपृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् ऋषीणां चानुश्रुण्वताम् शरपञ्जरे पृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् ऋषीणां चानुश्रुण्वताम् उवाच युधिष्ठिरस्तदा कर्ण्य शयानं शरपञ्जरे अपृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् ऋषीणां चानुश्रुण्वताम् सूत उवाच युधिष्ठिरस्तदा कर्ण्य शयानां शरपञ्जरे अपृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् चानुश्रुण्वताम् माताजीस् युधिष्ठिरस्तदा कर्ण्य शयानं शरपञ्जरे अपृच्छद् विविधान् धर्मान् Rishinam Chanushrunvatam. We'll read word to word translation, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Suta Uvacha. Shri Suta Goswami said, Yudhishthiraha, King Yudhishthir, Tat, that, Akarnya, hearing, Shayanam, lying down, Sharapanjare, on the bed of arrows, Aprichat, asked, Vividhan, multifarious, Dharman, duties, Rishinam, of the rishis, Cha, and Anushrunavatam, hearing after. Translation. Suta Goswami said, Maharaj Yudhishthir, after hearing Bhishma Dev speak in that appealing tone, asked him, in the presence of all the great rishis, about the essential principles of various religious duties. Purport. Bhishma Dev, speaking in that appealing tone, convinced Maharaj Yudhishthir that he was very soon passing away. And Maharaj Yudhishthir was inspired by Lord Shri Krishna to ask him of the principles of religion. Lord Shri Krishna inspired Maharaj Yudhishthir to ask Bhishma Dev in the presence of many great sages, indicating thereby that the Lord's devotee like Bhishma Dev, although apparently living as a worldly man, is far superior to many great sages, even Vyas Dev. Another point is that Bhishma Dev at that time was not only lying on a deathbed of arrows, but was greatly aggrieved because of that state. One should not have asked him any question at that time, but Lord Shri Krishna wanted to prove that his pure devotees are always sound in body and mind by dint of spiritual enlightenment, and thus in any circumstances a devotee of the Lord is in perfect order to speak of the right way of life. Yudhishthir also preferred to solve his problematic questions by asking Bhishma Dev rather than ask anyone else present there who was seemingly more learned than Bhishma Dev. This is all due to the arrangement of the great wheel carrier Lord Shri Krishna, who establishes the glories of his devotee. The father likes to see the son become more famous than himself. The Lord declares very emphatically that worship of his devotee is more valuable than the worship of the Lord himself. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Hare Krishna. So, in this whole chapter, these are Bhishma Dev passing away. So many people pass away from this world. But a devotee's passing away is mentioned. Prithu Maharaj also, when he leaves this world, there is an elaborate description how he left. So why are devotees passing away special? Why is it special? Why are they being described? Because they pass in a glorious way. So their coming to this world may not be so glorious in the sense people may not know who they are. Their glories will be revealed by their actions, their glories will be revealed by their words, by their example that they set. So sometimes it may happen that the arrival of a devotee is normal, comparable to other arrivals. But the departure is what sets the devotees apart. And that's why Bhishma Dev's passing away is described here. So Bhishma Dev, his whole life has been surrounded by luxury. He's been surrounded by all kinds of opulence. Also, although he is a brahmachari, and usually brahmacharis live in the brahmachari ashram, away from any kind of allurements, but Bhishma Dev is an exemplary brahmachari, that he is a brahmachari, but in one sense, because of the position that he is in, he is accepting opulences, and also he has a lot of association, or he is surrounded, we can say, by so many females also. So that's very special for Bhishma Dev. And when we are reading this, we are reminded of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami also. Indra sama Eshwarya, Stri Apsara sama, Esaba bandhite, Nari leka yara mana. The mother of Raghunath Das Goswami is seeing that Raghunath, always surrounded by so much opulence, is always detached. And that's why the mother says to the father, why don't we bind him with ropes? Because he keeps running away. So then that time Lord Chaitanya is saying, if he has this kind of Aishwarya, in the Gita, Krishna says, what is that where somebody is attracted by the opulence? Aishwarya. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya aparita chitasam. Vyavasayatmika buddhir samadhauna vidhiyate. Vyavasayatmika buddhi cannot take place those who are attracted to Bhoga and Aishwarya. So Raghunath Das Goswami has that kind of Bhoga and Aishwarya. And that is the point of his father. He is saying, if he is surrounded by this kind of Aishwarya, and Stri Apsara Sama, he is already married. So Bhoga and Aishwarya for Raghunath Das Goswami are there. And if that cannot bind him, what will your robes do? He is saying. And then he is saying, Chaitanya Chandrera Kripa Hoya Che Jahare Chaitanya Chandrera Batul Ke Rakhite Pare. So the moon in Latin is called Luna. And that's why we get the word for a bad person, lunatic. So even in that culture, there is a connection between the Luna and the madness of a person. So in Vedic culture also, they will advise that, especially on a full moon day, we should not sleep outside where we are exposed to the moon. Because the more we are exposed to the moon directly, the moon has a delirious effect. So even in the villages, in the summer season, even if they sleep outside in the absence of any fan or something to get that coolness of the moon, but they'll keep their head covered because they should not have that kind of an effect. So the father of Raghunath is comparing Lord Chaitanya to the moon, saying, Chaitanya Chandrera Kripa Hoya Che Jahare. So the moon of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Chandra, has an effect on him. So Chaitanya Chandrera Batul. Batul means mad person. So but this mad is a spiritually mad person. He is affected by Chaitanya Chandra. Ke rakhite pare, how can you control him? So Bhishma Dev is also that kind of a person. He is surrounded by luxury. He is surrounded by females. But he is an exemplary brahmachari. And In the Gita also Krishna says that somebody who is living his life as an offering to the Supreme Lord, Brahmanyadhaya Karmani, Sangam Tektva Karoti, Lipyate Nasa Papena, Padma Patra Ivambhasa. So Krishna there is saying that just like the lotus leaf, it stays in water, but it is not affected by water. Similarly, Brahmanyadhaya Karmani, when somebody is leading his whole life as a yagya, some of us lead our lives as per our own likings, and then once in a while we offer the Nama Sankirtan Yajna or the Japa Yajna, or sometimes there is an Agni Hotra Yajna. But there are some devotees who lead their whole lives as an Yajna. Their breath is a Yajna, their action is a Yajna, everything that they do is a Yajna. So if you are living your life in that way, Brahmanyadhaya Karmani, then Krishna says you will not be touched by sin. So if you see the translation of that shloka 5.10, very nicely Prabhupada, I was really very touched by the translation. It is not mentioned that he does not have sin. The actual words used by Prabhupada is, such a person is unaffected by sinful reaction. So the more you study Prabhupada's word, especially here, I really appreciate. So first word which I was touched by is unaffected by sinful reaction. It means while staying in this world, even if we are pure and even if we are trying to offer ourselves, there will be sins committed. Because this world is a world of duality. There will always be two sides of the coin. So any decision you take in this world, somebody will appreciate it and somebody will be affected by it. No matter what you do. So because this world is characterized by duality, there will be, unless we are really, really very careful, categorization. He is my friend, he is my enemy. He is richer than me, he is poorer than me. He is more intelligent than me, I am more intelligent than him. That kind of comparison, it is the nature of this world. So there will be mistakes, there will be sins. The focus is not on staying away from the sins. If you are in the mud, there will be some spots of that mud. When you walk in mud, even when you go to the mud to collect a lotus flower that grows in the mud, just by walking in the mud, there will be some spots on your cloth. So even though we are devotees, there should be an acceptance that there will be mistakes, there will be sinful reactions just by the dint that we are interacting with the material energy in the material world. But Krishna in that shloka in English, through Srila Prabhupada, is mentioning to us, such a person is unaffected. First, it means they will happen, but it will be not affecting us. And second is sinful reaction means, for our actions there will be reactions, but they will not affect us. Just like His Holiness Sridhar Swami, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, would say, in this world, pain is compulsory, but suffering is optional. So sometimes we don't want pain. But that's a very artificial expectation while staying in this world. There will be pain just because of the fact that we are here. But then we, based on our absorption in Krishna consciousness, we may develop the ability to stay afloat, that we will not be affected by it. Also, Bhishma Dev is very exemplary because he is in an extremely painful situation. So when Krishna wants to teach us humility, then he will use an extreme situation to teach us humility. Similarly, when he wants to teach through Bhishma Dev that my devotee is very special, he stands out. Just see, he is not affected by Bhoga and Aishwarya. So when he also wants to teach us in a death situation, nearing death, not death situation, nearing death, an extremely painful situation, can we be fixed up in our consciousness? And not only can we be fixed up in our consciousness, can we pass on the state in which we are to others? So the first struggle for many of us, at least for me, I have seen, in ordinary fever or even in a very painful situation, sometimes, you get hurt at the knee, you get hurt in your whatever, sometimes you fall down, you slip from the stairs, and then, there's a backache or something like that. It's very difficult to remember Krishna at that time because the pain overwhelms you. And basically at that time, instead of searching for our bead bag, we are basically searching for a pill. We are basically searching for our phone so that we can call the doctor, resident doctor, and get pain relief ASAP. Now, we are not against pain relief, but I am saying, can we have a reversal of the sequence? So instead of searching for the phone and calling the doctor, and then after taking a pill and after 2 hours, when that pain is, and then we remember, oh, I have 4 rounds to chant. I just completed 12 rounds in the morning. Can we do this? This is a question. That first we search for our bead bag, and with our hand in the bead bag, then we call out to the doctor. We call out to the doctor and we chant the holy names, but can we reverse the sequence? So the day I will reverse the sequence, the day first I will search for Krishna and then I will call the doctor. I'm not neglecting my health, but can I reverse the sequence? So the day when I reverse the sequence, I think that will be like my first sign of spiritual advancement. Till that time, basically I am in the bodily platform trying to struggle to make my body comfortable. So here is Bhishma Dev, arrows everywhere. And it is said that there was not space for one finger to go between two arrows, full of arrows. Shara panjare. Sometimes the word uses shara shayya. Shayya is bed. So shara shayya, he is on the bed of arrows. So how can devotees maintain this kind of consciousness? And is it really necessary? Why do these kind of devotees have to be subjected by the all, you know, bhoktanam yagetapasam sarva loka maheshwaro? He is surudam sarva bhutanam. He is the best friend. Krishna claims, I am the most well-wishing friend of all the living entities. How can the most well-wishing friend subject his devotees to a situation where not even a finger can pass in between two arrows? So, for pure devotees, suffering is a means of their glorification. And for ordinary sadhakas, suffering is a means for their purification. So when pain comes into our life, it is to purify us, it is to make us understand this material body that we have has unlimited capacity to give us pain, has very limited capacity to give us pleasure. For example, just a general example, a gulab jamun, when you eat, it gives pleasure. So when I eat the first gulab jamun, wow, very nice. So I look out for another one, the second one, more pleasure. Third one, not so much more pleasure. Fourth one, less pleasure. Fifth one, very little pleasure. Sixth one, I say, if you want to give me pleasure, please don't give me the sixth one. Still, you know, just because it's a source of pleasure, sixth one. So now my stomach is bloating. The seventh one, if somebody brings near, I run away. Yes. So what is the capacity of this body, this tongue and all, to get pleasure or to receive pleasure, to sense pleasure? Very limited. The first two or three gulab jamuns, depending on your capacity, maybe five or six. But on a fair level, considering the crowd that we have, can I say the 10th gulab jamun is a source of pain? Yes. It means this is the capacity of our body to experience pleasure. Now I'll give you another example. While walking down the stairs, there's something that is unseen. Maybe a stone or maybe a brick is lying somewhere. Or you slip somewhere and then you get pain. Just one event of pain. Or, you know, as you are playing cricket, you are playing football, whatever, and your toe of the foot, it gets hurt. How long will it hurt? That small toe, small finger of your foot, how long will it hurt? Minimum 2 months. If you lift a bucket to serve prasad, and if you are not used to serving prasad and you lift a bucket and something goes wrong here, how long will it suffer? 6 months. So just one mistake and you suffer for 6 months. And pleasure, if you see, that gulab is what, 6 minutes? Less than 6 minutes? So this body is made in such a way to remind us, this is not a suitable tool for pleasure. This is not a suitable tool for pleasure. Go for another means. Go for spiritual means. So in such a body, which has unlimited capacity for pain and very limited capacity for pleasure, pure devotees like Bhishma, they tolerate all that pain. Not only they tolerate all that pain, they maintain their internal consciousness fixed upon Krishna. In one of the shlokas he was saying, actually you are not even the Supreme Lord, you are the source of Narayan. He says, Adi Narayan. Ado Narayana Sakshat, says. It's so clear. Bhishma is so clear. Yan manyase matuleyam.
He says, oh, Pandavas, Matulayam is your maternal brother, cousin brother. Yanmanase Matulayam is not your cousin brother. Please don't get fooled. He's the source of Lord Narayan. He's the Supreme Lord. So full clarity. So first is extreme pain. That extreme pain is balanced by full clarity inside. And not only that full clarity inside, that willpower and that strength and that determination to also give it to others. You know, when you are passing away, the whole focus is on, can I remember Krishna? Can I pass away in a good consciousness? He's not worried about his consciousness because he knows his consciousness is fixed up. He wants to share that consciousness with others. While passing away, he wants to carry on the legacy that he has received. Srila Prabhupada also in his last days, Harishori Prabhu in his book, The Last Days, he is mentioning that he got service. So previously he worked as a secretary for maybe 1.5 or 2 years. And then last 6 weeks, because he was experienced in serving Srila Prabhupada, he was again called back. So last 6 weeks, Harishori Prabhu was again serving Srila Prabhupada. So he mentions Prabhupada hardly was eating anything. Sometimes they gave him moong dal water, the water that is there when you cook moong dal. Sometimes he took some grapes and some pomegranate fruits or something. He was hardly eating anything. So in that state, no digestive capacity and body, you know, just the fact that it goes old, nothing is working properly. A lot of details are there that may not be spoken here. You can read that book by Harishori Prabhu. He has given all the details of the last 6 weeks of Srila Prabhupada's life on this planet. Extremely painful situation. But in that painful situation, he is thinking, my Guru Maharaj ordered me, if you ever get money, print books. So with that microphone that is almost touching his lips. And if you look at that video, then Prabhupada's eyes are closed and he's barely able to speak. But when he's speaking purports to 10th canto, 13th chapter. So in that consciousness, he's tolerating all that pain. He's maintaining his consciousness, obviously, and then he's passing it on so that those books will be written. And these books, 10th canto, 13th chapter and all, will be read for the 10,000 years ahead. And people are going to take decisions for spiritual life based on the words that Prabhupada spoke in the last few days. So what a responsibility you have. Now, we might suddenly speak something without understanding the weight of what we are speaking. How our words can affect somebody's consciousness. So sometimes we speak something, and then somebody comes and tells us, Prabhuji, that day you spoke like that, and then because of that I took that decision, and then now I'm not sure whether that decision was, and then we say, actually even, you know, I think I spoke more than my realization. I spoke more than necessary. So for an acharya, can you imagine the responsibility that he has when he's speaking, because his words are going to be the Veda Vakya. They are the Pramana for what is right and what is wrong. So how much responsibility Prabhupada has when he's speaking that, and effortlessly is speaking. And he also needs to give some management decisions about the will, about how money should be handled, who is going to be the topmost authority in ISKCON after he leaves, because when he is there, he is the highest authority. So the GBC should be the highest authority. So all those deep decisions also have to be given in management meetings. He also has to set a standard for all the disciples that, see, I'm leaving, but look at my consciousness. So many times they go, Prabhupada, should we call this Vaidya? Because you don't like Western medicine. Should this Vaidya or that Vaidya? Finally, the real Vaidya is Krishna. So why don't you chant Sankirtan? Chant Sankirtan. And he made his disciples chant Sankirtan. So I'm just, you know, from a small microscopic perspective that I have, I'm just trying to understand what a responsibility Prabhupada had in his last days. He has to set standards for personal behavior. He has to give the books till last moment. He's serving his spiritual master's words till the last moment, which is his own heart. And he's also, you know, giving this kind of very wonderful association. How is he able to do all this? He's able to do all this based on, you know, his absorption in Krishna consciousness. And based on that, for devotees like Bhishma Deva, for devotees like Srila Prabhupada, it becomes easy. So Gajendra, he has been caught by that crocodile, and over a period of 10,000 years, that grip, this is in the celestial planets, that grip is growing stronger and stronger and closer and closer. It's not just a grip now. It's almost midway. You know, it's almost caught completely. And in that painful situation, He remembers Prag Janmani Anushikshitam. He remembered prayers from previous life. And then he offered those prayers. But none of those prayers have a name. And the Supreme Lord is so amazing. So we chant in the morning, Madhurya Leela Guna Rupa Namnam. All four are non-different from each other. So many times we say that the holy name is non-different from Krishna, and that's why when we chant Krishna's holy name, even though Krishna is not physically present, but it invokes the presence of the Supreme Lord. So what did Gajendra do? Did he do Nam Kirtan? If you see all the prayers, in not a single prayer, except the last one, after the Lord appeared, then he said, Narayana Akhila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste. The last prayer that Gajendra offered was in the presence of Lord Vishnu. But before he offered, before Lord Vishnu came, all the prayers, it's not Nama. It's Guna Kirtan. So he's chanting, oh, you are Vibhu, you are source of everything. It's Guna Kirtan. It's not Nama, not a single name there. But the Supreme Lord is so sweet. The Supreme Lord says, even if you chant my name, I am present there. Nama Namni Abhinnatvam. Nama Nami Abhinnatvam. But let's say somebody is so unfortunate that we don't even have we haven't even received a name. We are not born in Vedic culture. So naam bhi nahi malum humko kisi ka. Narayan, Hari, Ram, Krishna, Hegriv, Narasimha. We don't know any name also. Do you know any qualities of the Supreme Lord? How will you define the Supreme Lord? So you say, he's greater than the greatest. This is a quality of the Supreme Lord. Even if you chant Guna Kirtan, this is proved in Gajendra's pastime. The Supreme Lord says, who is greater than the greatest? Are you greater than the greatest? So the Devata say, I am not greater than the greatest. Are you the most merciful? No, I am not the most merciful. So whom is he referring to? Is he referring to me? So the Supreme Lord, even if you chant indirectly, Guna Kirtan, still the Supreme Lord comes, and the Supreme Lord immediately came, and as soon as he saw Garuda, and as soon as he saw Lord Narayan, immediately he understood that he is the Supreme Lord. And he picked up a lotus flower and Narayana Akhila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste. But the point is, if those prayers were in the category of artha, the four categories of people surrender to Krishna. So the first category is distressed. So if those prayers were offered in the category of artha, it means the purpose of offering those prayers was to get free from the distress. I am in pain, so I am offering, I am coming to Krishna. Krishna, please relieve me from this pain. And as soon as Krishna comes, it means my pain goes away. Ho gaya na abhi, kaam ho gaya na. Example, I am traveling in a car and I break a signal and the police catches me and I don't have money to pay the fine. So then I think of do I know somebody in the government who can. So then I call that person. I am here caught and can you help me? And he says, okay, don't worry, I'll come there. So now, as soon as that person comes there, what is the expectation from him? The expectation from that person who comes there is a relief from my distress. I am caught in this situation. Oh, mere ko chuda do aap bas. And as soon as he comes, how will my mood change? Till that person comes, I am humble in front of that policeman and I am really very, you know, seeking forgiveness and this and that. But as soon as that person comes, yes, my face will change, my expressions will change. Yes, now just see who I am. Now the most beautiful part of Gajendra is, as soon as Lord Narayan comes, he knows. Now all problems solved. But after Lord Narayan came, he offered a lotus flower. So it was not a business deal. He was not using Lord Narayan to solve his distress. Because if that was the purpose, then the lotus flower, there is no need. You call out, the Lord comes. Obviously he comes with a Sudarshan Chakra. He cuts the crocodile's neck and you are free. But after the Lord comes, and after it is assured that he will relieve me from my distress, he offers an expression of his love for the Lord in the form of a lotus. So that is why it is in the Bhagavatam. Because millions of people have offered prayers for relief from distress, but as soon as the reliever of distress came, they stopped any kind of affection for that person. So very subtle point actually. So that's why Gajendra's prayers are not to relieve himself from distress. Gajendra's prayers are prayers expressing his affection for the Lord. Saying, thank you, but I want to offer you something. What should I offer you? We should offer, right? yad karoshi, yad ashnasi, yad juhosi. Whatever you eat, what you offer to me. So now Gajendra is saying, I am in water, I don't have a fruit. If I was on the land, I would have given you the best fruit from the topmost part of the tree. I am in water and I am in a helpless situation. I cannot even walk here and there. I am already in a very distressed situation. I want to offer you something. I want to offer you something. So nearby was a lotus. He offered that lotus an expression of love. And that's why Gajendra went back to the spiritual world. What happened to Huhu? What happened to the crocodile? Crocodile did not go to the spiritual world. Crocodile, that body was killed by the Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Vishnu. What could be a better death than being cut by the Sudarshan Chakra of Lord Vishnu, but he just got a Gandharva body and he went to the heavenly planets. You know why? Because his consciousness was not to love the Supreme Lord. His consciousness was not to take surrender. Just cut. He got liberation from that body, went to Gandharva planets. And did Gajendra got touched? No. Gajendra was not touched. That Sudarshan Chakra cut the crocodile. But he went back to the spiritual world. So it's not a very physical transaction with the Supreme Lord. It's a consciousness transaction. And that's why Gajendra is also one very beautiful example of how somebody in extreme pain can also remember the Supreme Lord if basically there is a training. You know, so in his previous life, he had chanted those prayers. The previous chapter was Kunti Devi's prayers. So Kunti Devi also is an emblem of somebody who's undergone pain. Before that is the seventh chapter. Seventh chapter is the five Pandavas and Draupadi. They lose their five sons in sleep by Ashwatthama. So the way the Bhagavatam starts is starting with Ashwatthama story. And extreme pain to Draupadi. Five sons killed. Young sons in one shot. All sons of Draupadi. Draupadi had only five sons, from one each from all five. So lost. So that's also a very painful story. And that shows how those Pandavas and Draupadi were taking shelter. The next story, the next chapter is Kunti Devi. Extreme pain throughout life. Now third chapter is Bhishma Dev. Yes. Again there is pain. So the first beginning is full of how these devotees in extremely painful situations did not give up their Krishna consciousness and through it all, struggling, always tried to offer. So Kunti never spoke the word Kintu. Kintu means but. So whenever Krishna gives us something, they say, what you are giving is good, but why can't it be like this? What you are giving to this devotee is very nice, but don't I deserve more than this devotee? So that but word is very important. Many times when we are speaking classes, and then I know after speaking class, the devotees are sitting there, Prabhuji, you spoke like this in your class, but. The question will always start with a but. So I understand you are speaking on the Vyasasana and you are speaking all this, but. So always say, it's good to ask a question. Prabhuji, you spoke like this, and can I understand you in this way? So as soon as you say but, it means, you know, it's like a contradiction. What you said is okay, but. So Kunti also could have spoken the word but, Kintu. But Kunti never spoke the word Kintu. Recently I came across a line that was helpful to me. This line said, if you wish to hear the sound of a bird, don't purchase a cage, plant a tree. The first thing that comes to our mind is, go and purchase it. So why is it mentioned in this line that if you wish to hear the sound of a bird, don't purchase a cage, plant a tree. Both places you will hear the sound of a bird. But the sound of a bird in a cage is tinged with pain. You are troubling the bird. So it will make some sound, the parrot will make sound. But the sound will be painful sound. Instead of that, if you plant a tree, that sound will be happiness sound. Does this apply to the pure devotees? In our life, it could be a bird or it could be another human being, it could be another devotee also. So should we hurt devotees, should we force devotees to get to hear from them or to interact with them? So the Vaishnava relationship should be based on service, not on exploitation. But the pure devotees are an exception. The pure devotees are an exception to this. How? Even in a painful situation, the sound that comes from their mouth is sweet sound of Krishna consciousness. Even in that painful situation, they're in one sense the cage, yes, the physical material body. They don't have a material body, but to some extent it has some effect. But even in that cage-like situation, they chant very sweet shlokas, they chant very sweet instructions, like Prabhupada and Gajendra, and we also heard about Bhishma. 26 qualities spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami. 26 qualities of a devotee starts with Kripalu Akrita Droha. One of the qualities is Apramatta. And the word Apramatta means without inebriation. It means devotee is never speaking nonsense. So here Bhishma Dev in extremely painful situation is Apramatta. Every word that he is speaking is very nice. And these instructions from tomorrow onwards, shloka number 26 onwards, it is mentioned Bhishma Dev first defined all the classification of castes and orders of life in terms of individuals' qualifications. Then he systematically, in twofold divisions, described contraction by detachment and interaction. So duties he spoke. Long. So those duties are going to be the basis for Yudhishthir Maharaj's rule. Dharmaraj is going to rule after the Mahabharata war. Dharma Sthapana has happened in Mahabharata war, and now Dharmaraj is going to rule. And what is the basis for Dharmaraj's rule after Dharma Yuddha, after Dharma Sthapana? Bhishma Dev's instructions. And those instructions are coming in at a time in extreme pain. This is very worshipable. Another story related to this, how pure devotees are in a painful situation, is in the Chaitanya Charitamrish. Sanatan Goswami has come to Jagannath Puri. He came in the month of March and April. And it is mentioned, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested him. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, tested him in the month of May. How did he test him? One time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a temple of Yameshwar. So Yameshwar is on the side of Haridas Thakur Samadhi, further ahead of that. And Sanatan Goswami would live with Srila Haridas Thakur in Siddha Bakul area. So these two are two different parts of Puri. And in between that, when you go to Yameshwar, then there is Jagannath Mandir. So in the afternoon, one day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called out to Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami says, Prabhu bolaya che ei anandita mane, tapta valu kate na pode, taha nahi jane. Sanatan Goswami wants to visit Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very happy, anandita mane. But now he has two choices. Should he go by the road on which there is a lot of shade? Why there is shade? Because there are many homes. Whose homes? Pujari's homes. Whose pujari? Jagannath Pujari. So near Jagannath temple, all the pujaris are staying. Their homes are there. So then path is shady path. But Sanatan Goswami is thinking, I have served the king who was engaged in cow killing, killing brahmanas, destroying Vedic temples. I am sinful. So a person does something, there is sin. And even if you don't do it, but you facilitate his doing, that is considered to be more sinful. Because Sanatan Goswami and Rup Goswami were managing all the government area, so Nawab Hussain Shah could freely plunder. No tension. Finance and home ministry is handled. The most important ministries are handled by these two brothers. So he can do whatever nonsense he wants to do. So thinking like that, Sanatan Goswami and Rup Goswami are thinking, we are lower than the lowest. Why? Because we facilitated all these sinful activities. So Sanatan Goswami says, I cannot go by that path. Why? Because all the pujaris are always going back and forth. There are so many services for Jagannath ji. 56 offerings. By chance, if some pujari out of ecstasy touches my body, he will get contaminated. The bhoga will get contaminated. That's an offense in an unclean situation. If you go to the DT room, so he says, I will not go from that path. I will go from the path of the beach. But what happens on the beach? It is hot sand. This is Jagannath Puri in the month of May. Hot sand, tapta. So Sanatan Goswami is walking on that sand and his feet get blisters. It must be at least, 1 hour of walking. Right now, physically, if you go, one and a half hour of walking on sand. So on that hot sand, when he walks, he gets blisters. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees that, he says, Sanatan Goswami, why did you come by this route? Look at the blisters on your feet. You should have come by the shady road. That time Sanatan Goswami mentions all this. He says, I cannot come by that road. It's okay to undergo suffering myself, but I cannot cause trouble to the pujaris of the Jagannath temple. And what is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply to that? He says, Yadyapiyo tumiho jagat pavan, tomasparshe pavitra haya deva muni gan. Very beautiful shloka. Yadyapi, even though tomasparshe pavitra haya deva muni gan, you are deliverer of the whole world, jagat pavan, and you are so pure, tomasparshe pavitra haya deva muni gan. The devatas and the great rishis, they will become purified by sparsha, touching you. In that same Gajendra story, when Gajendra offered those prayers and Narayan came and he offered a lotus flower, after that all the devatas also came. And the devatas also offered prayers. So if you read the purport, then Prabhupada mentions, why did devatas come there to offer prayers? Usually the devatas will offer prayers for their own need. And when they come, when the Supreme Lord appears for another devotee, they shower flowers, usually. Why did the devatas offer prayers when the Lord came for Gajendra? So it is mentioned, when Gajendra was offering prayers, because he did not speak the name very clearly, some of the devatas felt, maybe he is calling out to me. And thinking, when a devotee is calling out to the Supreme Lord, if you expect that actually he is calling out to me, it is an offense. So Prabhupada writes, the devatas, some devatas felt offended that Gajendra is not calling out to them for help. And this itself was an offense. And to beg forgiveness for that offense, that they felt it offensive, that Gajendra, why is he calling out to the Supreme Lord? Are hum log yahan ke boss hai? Material world ke boss kaun hai? Empowered administrators of the material world, who are they? We are appointed administrators of the material world. Vishnu stays in Vaikuntha, Paraloka. Why is calling out to him? We are the local bosses here. Because of the offense that they felt, Gajendra is committing offense, to beg forgiveness for this offense, the devatas also came, and when Gajendra is offering prayers, they also offered prayers. Bole, maaf kar do, galti ho gayi. So, Tomas Parshe Pavitra Hai Deva Munigan. The devatas sometimes get infatuated by their position. And the person who has given them that position, sometimes by mistake they rebel against the same person. This last week we were in Govardhan and we discussed about Indra, Mana, Bhanga, Leela. So Indra is being worshipped for ages. Indra is being worshipped for generations by that cowherd community. Everyone feels Indra gives rains, rains gives grass, grass is eaten by cows, cows give milk, we sell milk. So we are dependent on Indra. And in one village, Nanda Maharaj's village, that boy, Krishna, he requested Nanda Maharaj, no need. Did he blaspheme Indra? No. Did he glorify himself? No. Did Krishna say, I want this? He gave a logic. If we do our duties properly, then the devatas are bound to give us fruits. He did not say, I am the Supreme Lord, it is my wish. It was not, you know, self-glorification, and it was not the devata denigration. He did not speak ill words against. If you read the convincing words of Krishna towards Nanda Maharaj, he does not speak less of Indra. He does not criticize Indra. He just says, he is appointed in that position, so if we do our duties properly, he has to give us. If you do your job, the boss will give you salary. If you do your job properly, how can the boss not give you salary? Although he is the boss, but he is duty bound to give you salary. So he did not denigrate the devatas like Indra. He did not glorify himself. He just spoke logic. Based on that logic, Nanda Maharaj accepted. So in one village, Indra Yajna stopped. Did it stop all over the world? No. Did all the other cowherd communities also say, yes, yes, we will also stop, we'll also stop, we'll also stop. No, nothing, me too, no. Only one community stopped. One community stopped, every other cowherd community is still performing Indra Yajna, the whole universe is still there. This is just Bharatvarsha. So many planets in this universe, did Krishna make a declaration to the whole universe? So unlimited planets in this universe where Indra Yajna is going on. In this whole universe, on one planet, in one Bharatvarsha, in one village, Indra Yajna stopped. And what happened to Indra? So he can look at so many Indra yagyas happening, but he's focusing on that one community. And then what does he do? He sends the whole energy that is used for destroying the world on one village. The whole universe is destroyed by Samvartaka clouds. So the energy that is used for the whole universe is concentrated on that one village, and the Samvartaka clouds who shower that kind of rain, they also are hesitant. They also understand this will devastate. We are capable of flooding the entire universe. How can you tell us to one small community, one small village, they will be killed. It's ruthless. So they are also little hesitant. But the master says, you don't worry about it. I am following with you and I am also bringing strong wind with me. So sirf rain nahi hai. I am bringing wind also, and in my hand I have lightning also. They will have to undergo punishment for disobeying me and disrespecting me, whereas there is no disrespect. They are just doing what they want to do. By logic, they never disrespected Indra. Daksha Prajapati, when he walks into that arena, Shankar, Lord Shiva, he is just remembering Lord Vishnu. Did he disrespect Daksha? Did he say, who are you? Did he say, I don't respect you? Did he say, I don't have anything? All he is doing is, he is just absorbed in his Krishna consciousness, and it was misinterpreted beyond all logic, beyond all reason. Just see, he did not get up from his seat. It means he disrespects me. It means he hates me. It means I am lower in his eyes. It means. It's all conjecturing. It's all an interpretation. What did Lord Shiva do? He's just with his eyes closed, because Daksha came late. So his eyes closed, he's remembering. Sitting still. Did not speak a single word. I am great. I am a Vaishnava. In the Bhagavatam it is said, Vaishnavanam Param Shambhu, so why should I get up? Nothing like that. He is just remembering Krishna, and because of remembering Krishna, he is now imagining things. Oh, this is a big insult. And then he starts blaspheming. Shiva? Shiva is auspicious? You are auspicious? You stay in the crematorium grounds and your whole body is smeared with crematorium ashes. You are not Shiva. And so many other things he says. So just see how Daksha is affected by unspoken words. How Indra is affected by unspoken words. Why? Because the more you hype up yourself, the more you hear unspoken words. So here I am speaking unspoken words of insult. Yes? And when you are humble, you also hear unspoken words. When you are humble, you hear unspoken words of forgiveness. So in a relationship, let's say, you know, the other person says something to you and then you feel hurt. They say, no, I must have done something wrong. Kabhi na kabhi kuch to galat kiya hi hoga iske saath. Isle aaj aisa kara. Bola na, sorry, bola na isne. The sorry word is not spoken physically. Yes, but sometimes by our gestures, by our, you know, sometimes I've seen in friends, there are tiffs. Jhagda ho jata hai, you know, their opinions sometimes clash and all that. And because of our ego, it's very difficult to say this five-letter word, S-O-R-R-Y. It's actually a very heavy word for the tongue. To say this word sorry, in some situations, it becomes so difficult. So that time, to save the relationship, actually, it will be very nice if we can hear the unspoken word. You said sorry. Because you sat next to me for prasad yesterday. Even after we had a fight day before yesterday. So just the fact that after having a big fight day before yesterday, you came and sat next to me, it means you are my friend. You didn't speak the word sorry. I heard it. So proud people hear unspoken words of insult. And humble people hear unspoken words of forgiveness. And proud people, for a crime of 1 rupee, they give a punishment of 1 crore. छोटी सी गलती हो गई, क्या किया? गोवर्धन को वर्शिप किया, बोलते तुझे तो छोड़. सो द इम्प्लीकेशन देयर इज, फर्स्ट आई विल डिस्ट्रॉय द विलेज, ऑल द व्रजवासीज, ऑल द काउज, ऑल द काउज, ऑल द डियर, ऑल द पीकॉक्स, उसके बाद में तेरा नंबर है. कृष्णा वॉज नॉट सेट फ्री. कृष्णा को छोड़ा नहीं था इंद्र ने. यू टुक दैट डिसीजन. यू सेट दैट गोवर्धन. Just see the effect of your decision, how all these people will pay through their nose, will pay through their mouth for hearing you, And after everything is destroyed, the last one to die is you. Just see how I kill you. And what is the crime? The crime is no blasphemy. No nothing. They just said, chalo, Govardhan ki puja karte. Crime of Shiva, Lord Shiva, is he's remembering Krishna. And the opposite of this, for a crime of 1 rupee, you give a punishment of 1 crore. The opposite of that is, what is the opposite of that? Opposite of that is, for a crime of 1 crore, you give a punishment of 1 rupee. And that is Lord Vishnu. Bhrigu Rishi was selected by the devatas to find out. See, you know, everyone has some limitations, but in general we see three personalities who stand out. Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. We want you to test and tell us who's the greatest. Tough task. So Bhrigu Rishi goes, Brahma is his father. He goes and he does not offer respects to him. Father, you should offer obeisances. He does not offer obeisances. Brahmaji understands he's an insulting person. He won't offer obeisances to me, his father. Pranam bhi nahi karenge aap mujhe. Did Bhrigu speak anything? No. He just did not offer obeisances. It's a manasik apradh. Internal. Brahmaji was very angry. But he said, okay, you are my son. Then he went to Lord Mahesh, Lord Shiva. Now Shiva is his brother. So Lord Shiva immediately came to embrace him. And Bhrigu says, I cannot embrace an unclean person like you. He spoke. So it is a vachik apradh. A little more than manasik. And Lord Shiva was so angry that you are judging me like this. And Parvati Devi also was very angry, but they somehow pacified. Now the third person is Lord Vishnu. Bhrigu goes there. And Lord Vishnu is yoga nidra, is sleeping. And Bhrigu Rishi goes and with his strong leg kicks on his chest. So Lord Gopijan Vallabh, the small deities here, metal deities, when you get a chance to dress them, you will see on their chest there is Bhrigupad. Gopijan Vallabh has Bhrigupad. So from that day onwards, Vishnu has a permanent mark on his chest. Bhrigu Rishi's foot. And after doing that, Bhrigu is thinking, so this is Sharirik. First was Manasik, then was Vachik, then was Sharirik. So now, what is Lord Vishnu's reaction to that? All the reason to curse him. But Lord Vishnu says, actually my chest is very hard and it must have hurt you. I'm very sorry. Can I do something to relieve you of that pain? Can I massage you? So the proud person, for a little crime, he gives a huge punishment. And Lord Vishnu, for a huge crime, Jepada lagiya Rama tapasya korila, Jepada lagiya Shiva Shivatva labila, Jepada Narada Muni Ridaya dhorila, Jepada Rama. So Lakshmi Devi, Parvati Devi, Narada Muni, Shankarji, they are worshipping that lotus feet. That person was kicked by Bhrigu Rishi. And he's saying, can I massage you? So for a crime of 1 crore, there is no punishment only. So this is opposites. So Lord Vishnu and his devotees, they are really very amazing. And when we hear this, it is not that we have to do it tomorrow. We cannot do it tomorrow. But at least we know this is the direction in which we have to walk. And if we walk in this direction, we are going in the wrong direction. If we are going in this direction, we will go in the right direction. So very difficult for us to understand how devotees can do like this. You know, we had been to Chitrakoot in the month of January. Extreme cold. The temperature was 6 degrees in the morning. And in the afternoon, the temperature was 12 degrees. So one story, early in the morning we were going someplace and we saw that there was a bright globe in the sky. Now usually early in the morning, 6 o'clock, 6:30, if it is sun, it is orangish, it is yellowish. Arunaksha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Arunaksha. So we thought, is it the sun or is it the moon? It was time for the sun, but it was completely white. Safed, pura safed. So safed to chand rehta hai. Lekin dekha to uske upar spots nahi tha. No spots on the white globe. Super completely white globe. But no spots. So then using our intelligence, God given intelligence, we said no. No spots means it must be the sun. So how the sun is white then? Why is it not orange? And because of dense fog. Cold na? So extreme fog mein, fog is white. So itna fog hai, You know that the sun also became white, but we recognize the sun and recognize it is not the moon just because it did not have its power. Otherwise, all reasons to say that it was the moon. So unless we use our intelligence, we will not be able to differentiate between the sun in such a situation. So the pure devotee also, he looks very ordinary, but no spots. Ordinary person is white, but has spots. Pure devotee is like the sun, no spots. But in the material world, he appears ordinary, even the sun looks like the moon. But if you are intelligent, then you should use your intelligence and say, but if it is the moon, then how there are no spots? It means it is the sun. So out of those two, which is more important? You know, the whiteness is not important, the spots, the absence of spots is more important. Similarly, the pure devotee sometimes shows some, you know, sometimes there may be fever for the spiritual master. Sometimes there may be sneezing of the spiritual master. Yes? So these are, you know, you should understand. The color looks like the material world, but he has no inebrieties. His consciousness is sthira. His consciousness is always fixed up at the lotus feet of Shri Radha Gopinath. And that's why we have to be very careful in dealing with Vaishnavas. We may mistake the sun to be the moon. And very interesting, actually the sun that day was not even hot. In that super cool and that white light that it was throwing, but just the spots were not there. So the pure devotees of the Lord, very difficult, very rare. We have to be very careful. Just last story. One person had heard of something called as a touchstone. Paris money. Marathi they call it Paris. So if you touch that stone to something, then it becomes golden. And then he came to know that on this particular sea beach, there is a good chance that you will find that touchstone. So now on the beach, he looked, there are thousands of stones. How will you understand? So he asked, how to understand? So the touchstone is very amazing. When all the stones are cold, this touchstone will be warm. And in the afternoon time, if all the stones are warm, this touchstone will be cold. Okay, got it? Well, got it. Or kaise pata chalega? So this person went to the beach, there are thousands of stones, he picked up a stone. Cold. Subah ka samay, cold hai. So cold means it's not a touchstone. Threw it. He wants to reduce his chances, na? Samudra mein phek diya. Took another touchstone. Cold. So not a touchstone. Threw it. So in this way, he did it at almost 1,000 stones. Picked up cold. Threw it. So conditioning. Conditioned soul. So conditioning means whatever you do once, you want to do it twice. Whatever you do twice, you want to do it thrice. And then it becomes a habit. So it becomes cold. Throw. Cold. Throw. Aisa karte karte, actually there was one stone which was warm. That was the stone which he was looking for. Cold, 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 cold. And it would have warmed the throne. It was warm. And what was that? Warm thao. Lekin samudra mein fek diya bhi kaha. Chala gaya. So sometimes, you know, these pure devotees are walking on the planet around us. But just because of easy availability or, you know, we can see them, we might not realize them. So when we read about Bhishma, looks very odd. Are kitne kshatriya reh chuke hain yahan pe? How many kshatriyas have stayed in palaces? He is an exceptional kshatriya, brahmachari, unaffected, brahmanya adhaya karmani, Srila Prabhupada. So some disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they say, when we met Swamiji, they used to call him Swamiji in those days, we thought he is one Swamiji, and in New York there was another Swamiji, and on the TV, in those days there was fascination for India, so we had seen many Swamijis. So they thought, Swamiji is one in a million. You understand this? Millions of Swamis who wear saffron clothes. Swamiji is also one in a million. Later, they found out, he is not one in a million, he is one in a million. There are many stars in the sky, but the sun is special because the sun illuminates the entire universe. No other star illuminates the entire universe. One time I remember, His Holiness Jayadvait Swami Maharaj was speaking a class, and after the class, one devotee asked a question, Maharaj, you know, we hear of two words, Bhagavan and Devata. So Krishna is always used the word Bhagavan, and Devata means all the Devatas. So in Narasimha prayers, what is Jaya Narasimha Dev, Narasimha Dev. So why are we calling Narasimha as Devata? So Jayadvait Maharaj gave a nice answer. He says, yes, he is the Devata, but he is the chief Devata. Just like everyone is in the army, but some are rank and file soldiers, and one is the colonel, or one is the chief in Air Force, the wing commander. So is he not part of the Air Force? Yes, but he's the chief person in the Air Force. Is this colonel not an army man? He's an army man, but he's the chief army man. So he's also one of them, but he's the chief. So we can chant Narasimha Deo, Narasimha Deo. Yes. So Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, was a sannyasi, and there were millions of sannyasis on the planet. But when they interacted with him, when they touched that stone, they understood this stone is a special stone. This personality has an amazing consciousness, never ever affected by anything. Yes. So we are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada for setting such a wonderful standard for all of us, giving us such nice purports in the Srimad Bhagavatam, telling us about Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and this way, at least giving us a direction. This is a direction in which we have to endeavor. Life is a journey, death is a life is a journey, and death is the final exam. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada ji ki Jai, Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda ki Jai, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.